Jesus said, I will not abandon you. I will ask my Father to send you an advocate who will be with you forever. Amen. First, good morning. And happy Mother's Day to all of you who do the work of nurturing and protecting this world and everything in it, because that is mothering. So happy Mother's Day. Thank you. What is this? What is this? You can answer me. This is not the opera, it's church. It's a cell phone. Yes, that's right. It's a phone. It's a smart phone. And yes, that's my daughter, right? She's so cute. It's a smartphone. And what does it do, this smart phone? What does it do? What did you say, Jocelyn? Oh, there you go. You can call people. Sure. It's meant to keep us connected, right? To each other, to our work, to our families. These are all good things. These smartphones are a little bit like secretaries. They can keep our calendars, remind us of upcoming appointments. They help us reach people we need or who need us. They can keep us organized and efficient at times, but they can also be like really, really bad secretaries, like secretaries with absolutely no boundaries. So imagine if you had a secretary that functioned like your smartphone. So you're in your office and you're writing your sermon for Sunday, or you're about to close a deal or send a sensitive email, and your secretary just busts through the door and she says, hey, did you know that there's been another tragic act of random violence? And you're like, wow, that's really horrible. But I'm kind of in the middle of a meeting right now. And she just looks at you and shrugs their shoulders, and then they give you that look like, oh, fine. Don't care about all of the people and their families. And so you get back to work, and then without warning, this secretary pops up from behind your desk and says, hey, so your brother wants to know when you're coming to visit, and by the way, you haven't seen him for 2 weeks. And so you're like, okay, I'll text him right after this meeting, I promise. And so then you get up from your desk for, you know, just a small stretch break to breathe for a minute. And you're walking down the hall, and your secretary is just standing there in the middle of the hall, just glaring at you. And they say, did you know that your friend got a raise again? Oh, and Betsy and her whole family are in Greece for a holiday again. Just thought you'd like to know. Oh, and by the way, your ex is getting married. Have a good day. Want to play solitaire? So you go back to your desk, exhausted, and you think, man, I really need to fire that secretary. But you don't, because you're dumb. I have begun to notice that this phone might be smart, but Jocelyn, you are correct. My smartphone has in fact made me dumb, or at least deeply and profoundly confused, disoriented and exhausted. And the fact that I have allowed that to happen is the only dumb thing about this situation. But honestly, it's not that I'm dumb, of course. I'm just a human living in the world that pulls and tugs at me with constant pings, tings, and things popping up every few seconds on all of the various devices to grab my attention without my consent. All of these pings, tings, and things do not stop just because my work week has ended. That bad secretary follows me home, and with this constant barrage of interruptions, and I allow it. They continue to ding at me, ping at me, and remind me of all the things that are more important than whatever I am choosing to do in that particular moment. And I, being human and a wee bit compulsively overly responsive, just fell into the habit of letting my smartphone make me dumb and numb and exhausted. So after a spiritual direction session, I decided to fire the secretary. And no, not Jill, I promise. One, because Jill is not a secretary, and two, it's an analogy. But that night, after spiritual direction, as my day was ending, I placed my smartphone in the drawer and shut it, fired, for at least 24 hours. And I chose to just enter my life, only giving attention to things I consent to give my attention to. My daughter, cooking, a little house cleaning, a morning run, and of course spending an hour or so with my second favorite rabbi, Justin Goldstein. As the rabbi and I were discussing 16th century wisdom teachings, and yes, I consented to that, he quoted a 16th century sage who said this: "I am surprised by the man who has time for anxiety in moments of adversity, but doesn't have time for patience." And then without missing a beat, the rabbi broke it down for me in layman's terms and said, if you've got time to spin yourself out, you've got time to chill yourself out. As we sat and discussed the merits of discipline and the evolution of the human mind, we were not interrupted one time. No dings, no pings, no things. Just a rabbi and a priest sitting on the porch talking smack about 16th century sages. If you've got time to spin yourself out, then you've got time to chill yourself out. Jesus said, "I will not abandon you or leave you orphaned. I will ask the Father to send you an advocate who will be with you forever." An advocate, someone who pleads the cause of another. In Reverend Guy Sale's last blog, he told a story of a boy flying a kite. When the kite had ascended so high that it was no longer visible, the boy simply stood holding on to the string. An adult came by to the boy and said, "Why do you still hold on though you can no longer see the kite?" And the boy replied, "I'm holding on because I can feel the tug of it, and so I know it is there." The advocate works like this. It tugs at us even when we can't see it. Even when we have become dumb to its presence, the advocate will continue to tug and tug at our hearts and our minds and our bodies to remind us of who and whose we are, and that we are not abandoned, to plead our cause. But here's the thing, the world tugs at us too. The news, the demands of production and consumption, fear, demise of trust, grasping for security and safety. These pings and dings and things, like that secretary with no boundaries, can tug at us so powerfully that either we just let go of the string or we collapse from exhaustion. Either way, if we let go or if we collapse, we are no longer connected. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And what is the greatest commandment? Right, to love. And what does love require? Connection. Deep and abiding connection with God, with self, and with neighbor. The phone, perhaps, is meant to keep us connected, but to what? If you have time to spin yourself out, you have time to chill yourself out. If we collapse or let go just because we are in a moment of adversity or confusion or disorientation and we can't see the Spirit any longer, then friends, we will struggle to truly keep the commandments because we are disconnected. But the advocate is tugging too. Only we have to chill ourselves out to feel it. It's not about seeing it. It's about feeling it. In our scripture today, Jesus is preparing the disciples to be in a world where they can see him no longer. He is preparing them for a time of confusion and disorientation. Jesus is preparing them for a time of great adversity. He is assuring them that they will not be abandoned, so that they will not let go or collapse. He's preparing them to trust, even when they can't see him, that he is with them, and to stay connected to God and to each other so that they can keep the commandment to love. Can you feel the tug of the advocate in your life? Who is pleading the cause of love in this world? Even when we can't see it, are we holding on to what really matters most? Because friends, this is faith, to hold on to what matters, even in moments when we can't see it. And faith is required to trust the Holy Spirit, the advocate, God, and each other. What is tinging and pinging and pulling you to focus on things without your consent? It might not be a phone, but all of us have something that takes us away from the present moment. Now, when I put away my smartphone for a mere 24 hours, I didn't just stop getting distracted by things I'd rather not focus on. I also sacrificed a few things that I struggled without. Like having music on my morning run, I sacrificed taking photos and texting friends. I gave up checking the weather or email or getting directions or, yes, randomly playing solitaire. But what I gained, even in just 24 hours, was my ability to feel the tug of the Spirit again. What I gained was the stillness of mind, the power to choose where my attention was focused. What I gained was a deep conversation that was completely uninterrupted in my ability to choose to chill myself out. Some days, I admit, feels like I'm struggling to hold on. I'm a mother to a teenager, working a full-time job that requires a lot of emotional energy, and I have community commitments that pull and tug at me. But by the grace of God, when we make the choice to focus, to chill ourselves out, we can feel the tug of the advocate who pleads the cause of love. And I'm going to trust it because I'm not dumb, and I know I can't do it all and still love well. And love is the greatest commandment. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He is not saying here, you will do this to prove you love me. Jesus is saying that when we choose to love him, we will naturally, willingly, consensually love others. That's how love works. When we focus on love, love multiplies. The only way to learn to love better is to love more. So if you are struggling to feel love or to see the works of the Spirit in the world, I invite you to put your distractions in a drawer, fire that secretary, take a moment to still yourself, close your eyes, and choose instead to feel the tug of the Spirit, the advocate, the one whom the Father has sent, who will never abandon you, who abides within. I invite you to take your power to choose to feel the tug of the one who simply and powerfully pleads the cause of love, and then hold on to that forever. Amen.